Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to The Shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial. Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Miss your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hope you're all okay, wherever it is you're listening to this. This is Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. Bit of a slow week, bit of a fast week, depends on how you look at it. I've got a new game-ish, playing some old games, sort of, whole bunch of stuff. No, it's going to be a good show tonight, so keep listening, don't skip. But no, first things first, don't forget, August 9th is literally just over a month away now. We have the More Like Radio live event at Just Jake's in 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey, from 1 till 4. You know, all donations, donate all your money you can. It's going to Otto Peterson's family. We have comics there, you know, Mike Falcone, Conti and Kenny are going to be there, Dave Satsik, Dan DiMarino. There's raffles, auctions, and we've got a cover band from BPM. It's going to be a really good afternoon, and, you know, I'm going to be there. I know I'm pissing everyone off because I'm just keep saying how excited I am to be going. But yeah, it's going to be a really good event. Make sure you free up your calendars, get yourself down there. But yeah, it's going to be a really good event. Make sure you bring some money. I mean, it's free entry, but we do ask that you donate because, you know, we need to donate to help Otto's missus and that. But yeah, it's going to be really good events. It's going to be really funny. Lots of drink and all sorts of shit going on down there. I'm not too sure what else is going on. Probably other stuff that I haven't been told yet, or, you know, whatever. But no, it's going to be a really good event. I need to make sure you get yourself down there. If you're in the New York, New Jersey, that sort of area. You know, I mean, I'm flying 4,500 miles. You lot in the States can, you know, get yourself on a train and come down just for an afternoon, spend a couple of hours with us, all the hosts of More Like Radio. I mean, if you went to the event, live event last year, you know how massive that was. And we're going to have like twice, three times as many hosts as it was last year. It's going to be really, really good, really, really good event. And I can't wait to see all you people. All you scumbags. But no, good show this week. I've got a topic for you, and I've got a topic for next week as well, because next week's my birthday show. But yeah, I say this week's topic's going to be like the worst games that we've ever played. I've got a little list here that I've made and whatever stuff that I'll probably think up on top of my head. But yeah, first the usual stuff. If you want to call the show, add Antisocial Game Radio to your Skype contacts, then you can call in the show when I go live, which is 9 p.m. till 11 UK time, or 4 p.m. till 6 Eastern Standard Time. But yeah, don't forget also we have a Facebook group, which we had a new member join this week. Thank you very much. Facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Get yourself in that. I always post topics in there. You know, next week, for next week's topic, I'm going to post some stuff in there. I've got other topics bubbling around inside my head that we're going to do in the future. So it's going to keep active and, you know, that sort of stuff. Also, we're up to 171. That's very good for me. I want more, though. I still want more likes. Go to facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. That is my show's Facebook page. Give it a like. That would be helpful as you're all listening to me. I know how many's listening. There's a whole lot of you. Yeah, give it a like. Take some time out of your day. You know, give it a like. It makes it more popular. Get more attention, you know. And also, don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, @MLRGamerRadio, and I will follow you back, because that's the way I am, you know, to show that I actually care about you lot. But yeah, so, you know, plenty of ways to get in contact with the show and, you know, interact. Also, though, we are asking for more reviews on iTunes. Basically, there's a big lack of iTunes reviews. I say, once you do, you know, email me, you know, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk, or leave a message on the Facebook page. Yeah, go on iTunes, search More Like Radio. You'll see it's a giant thumb, big thumbs up. Yeah, go on there, leave us a review. 5 stars is a minimum. Literally, make sure you review us, because literally we need some more reviews. I mean, literally, anyone in the UK listening, make sure you get on there, because there's only 2 at the moment. There's one from me and there's one from my producer. But make sure you get on there, give us a review. And if you haven't, if you have, rather, nudge your mate next to you and say, yeah, go on there, give him a review as well. You know, because it's more just me. There's, you know, we've got comedy shows, we've got, you know, we've got everything. It's More Like Radio, motherfucker. We're the greatest radio station in the world. And I will challenge anyone to beat us on this, anything like that. But yeah, go on there, More Like Radio, look on iTunes, leave us a review, 5 stars, you know, it's what we need, because we deserve it. But yeah, we've got tons of other shows, you know. If you're listening to me, listen to the other shows. You know, the people who like, you know, gaming, listen to, you know, get them to listen to me and Rage Quit Radio as well. You know, comedy stuff, listen to Brains, to Hippo Juice, Dutch and Royce. It's all about me. You know, we've got everything on this station. And, you know, do us a favour. Go on iTunes, give us a review. Be very, very helpful. But, yeah, that's pretty much all the ways you can contact me, get in touch. Also, as I am going live right now, I am talking to myself in a open room with windows and people staring out the windows at me. Yeah, I go live, as I said, you know, 9 o'clock UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern. Get yourself in the chat room. If you're listening to a podcast, you know, take some time out of your day. Call in sick to work. Tell them I'm listening to Antisocial Gamer Radio live on MolletRadio.com. And, yeah, have a good time. I said there's no one in the chat room, but someone did log in, so there's someone in there just hiding away as a guest, as they usually do. Like last week, it was about a dozen of the people, actually. Too frightened to say hello. But yeah, I say I've been playing some bits and pieces this week. Some good stuff, some bad stuff. No, literally, not really bad. It's half and half, both the games that I've been playing. I mean, usual Pokemon stuff, but no one gives a shit. I've been playing my Major League Baseball 2K, MLB 2014, the show. I'm sort of getting used to the controls. It's a bit tricky because, I mean, I over manhandle the controller. So basically, even when I, when I'm at the bat and I hit it, you know, I get a base hit, I'll run onto first base and I'll sort of get over enthusiastic with a joystick and end up, analog stick. How old am I? Nearly 30. But yeah, it's sort of, I'll push further and run off the first base and I get caught out. But I mean, the game, from what I'm seeing, the developers of this are very fucking lazy. It's a great game. I love it. I'm having tons of fun with it. But it's like, you're very, very lazy when it comes to stuff. I mean, let's take, for instance, this happens to me several times. I'm standing, where I'd like to be. I mean, I know that some of the rules of baseball, and I watch it all the time. But it's like, my character's like supposed to be on first base when, you're on first base and there's a new batter at the plate. Your character moves in away from the plate, like he's going to start to try and steal second. There's an Albert Costello bit in the making this. But no, it's like, I'm there waiting. I don't really want to be that far away from the fucking plate. I'm like, yes, when this motherfucker hits the ball and it goes flying, then I'm going to fucking run. But until then, leave me alone. Stop moving me away from the plate, because what will happen is the pitcher will throw the ball at first base and I'll get out because I'll try and jump onto first base. But because I'm too far away because the computer puts me there, it fucks me up. It really does. It's annoying. And I mean, I love the game. It's great. The graphics are great. I'm having tons of fun with it. You wait till I tell you about my custom character. I'm having tons of fun with it. But it's just some of the stuff, it's because there's been so many, they're starting to get lazy and trying to help us out, I feel. And it's like, well, no, just let me sit on first base until, the new batsman fucking, knocks it out of the park. Until then, just leave me the fuck alone and I'll do what I need to do. Because it's like, yeah, I know how to move. It's literally, it's baseball. There's not much to it. It's literally, yep. Person's up a plate, hits the ball, goes far. Yep, you run. And it's like, there's no real need to do, for me to do much more than basically run when I need to run. I know when I need to run. But it's like, if you move me further than when I need to, and then basically the pitcher wants to, tag me out at first base, I'm going to get fucked because I'm too far away because you moved me there. And to be honest, I can't move back. I tried this. It's literally, it gives you like a left and right. So, right if you want to steal second, and then first if you just basically does nothing. So I'm like, okay, I can't move quick enough to stop being tagged out because you won't let me move back to where I'm supposed to be on first base. And it's like, it's just, yeah, no. I mean, even when I'm fielding, it's like, yeah, I can see my the person who's on first base. He's sort of slightly off it, but he's moving about. I'm like, well, shit, why can't I move about like that? Because it just makes it so much easier for me to be able to do what I need to do. It's a good game. I'm having tons of fun with it. I mean, I'm sort of playing bits and pieces, and I want to play this. I want to play this now. But yeah, I did create another custom character under the name Royce Lopez. And mainly basically because they've got my last name in the game, but they don't have my first one. So I'm like, yeah, Royce Lopez, that'll do me. He's actually doing pretty well, to be honest. I hit a couple of home runs. I've done very well with the character. It's a pain in the ass sometimes. I mean, I'm having more fun with this than I say, when I do get caught out, when I was like playing the bigs, because that would go shit crazy. Batshit crazy. It's like I'm hitting it really far and it's just about to go over the wall, and then suddenly the fielder jumps like 60 meters in the air and catches it as it's about to, it just doesn't really work. But no, I'm having tons of fun with the game, and hitting a home run is quite, that's what I say, it's fun. It makes me feel like I'm sort of part of the game when you get to hit a home run. It's like, there's a couple of times I'll get the first base or I'll get the second. But I mean, it's like off-putting the fact that the computer controls the game too much so that I can't. I mean, there's been a couple of times when I've, well, it's weird because, I mean, I'm playing in the AA league at the moment. And I'd be on second base and my team would be shit. So basically, I'd have to sort of, do as well as I can, but then through the lack of, what the hell is it? a decent team to play with, people on my team to play with, I'd end up getting, fucked up because I'd say, where they'd set me up, my turn up a bat, be like, okay, there's two out already, and then I hit it to second base, and I'm basically all down to this one last person who's behind me, will he do anything good? No, he'll probably just get struck out, and then I'll be on second base, and, slightly my fault, maybe I should have stole bases, but the way the game is, I'm too afraid to steal bases, because it's like, well, I'm getting caught out, or I'm pushing the button when I shouldn't be, not by accident, not by purpose, but by accident. It's just not really doing, what I want it to, basically. But I don't know, maybe hopefully the next one they'll make it more, user-based, user-friendly. Let us control what goes on. And, if I want to sort of run across the field, even I'm not supposed to, that's fine. But just, give me some control over what I'm supposed to be doing. And that would make it so much easier. But yeah, other thing that I have been playing, just take a quick sip of beer here, I'm drinking. Yeah, the other thing I did get, I picked up the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. Yeah, it's good. I mean, there's lots of downsides. I mean, watching this, they were talking about how the hair physics are more real, it's more realistic hair. But it's like, there's several problems with the game. I mean, to be honest, part of it, it looks maybe better than it did originally on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. But sometimes it looks, Lara looks very shiny, very plasticky. Like, they sort of, chucked in a Barbie doll mod or something and made her look sort of Hollywood bimbo-ish, sort of thing. It's hard to explain, sort of. But I mean, I'm having fun with the game. I think I'm nearly halfway through because, it is a really short game. I think I'm about quarter to halfway through. I'm sort of about to put the SOS device on a tower. I know there's a bit where I have to like go on a plane, jump in a plane and go down like some waterfalls, and there's a whole bunch of stuff I've got to do. But yeah, I'm having fun with it. The graphics are, I'm not really noticing any difference, to be honest. I mean, I'm glad that I've got this because, yes, it's Tomb Raider, and Tomb Raider was a great game, and, I recommend everyone to go and play it. Probably not pick it up on the PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, unless you can get it for quite cheap. Just get it on the standard 360 PlayStation 3 console. But it's worth a purchase if you haven't played it already. The story's great. I mean, I sort of feel like I'm doing a speed run with this. I'm not really investing enough time into... Well, not investing time. It's because I have invested the time already. I don't feel like I need to do it again, which is basically why it makes me feel like I'm doing a speedrun, because I'm sort of skipping the cutscenes because they're not really... Well, I mean, I've seen them, so I don't really need to know. I mean, I know which characters die, and it's like... I mean, it's quite nice, actually, to go back, because, I never did a second playthrough. I sort of finished with it and then just sort of stopped. I didn't even give the multiplayer a go. I'm not even sure if I'll bother with this one, to be honest. But it is a lot of fun. I like what you could do. I'm having tons of fun with the bow and arrow. I'm trying to sort of play more with the bow and arrow than the guns. But there's certain I've just got to the sort of mountain snowy area of the game where you go through all the caves and sort of the World War II hideouts and stuff. But it doesn't. I'm not having that same experience that I did the first time, man, because this is my second time playing this. I'm skipping the cutscenes and doing bits differently, which is nice because I'm trying to focus more with the bow, but I'm using the guns a lot more because it's easier for when I need to do certain things. But as I know where certain things are, and I'm not too sure how far or in depth I'll go into this when I do finish it, because I used to what the hell was it when I finished. The Tomb Raider I had on the Xbox 360, I went around, looked at all the GPS caches, I found all the items and the books, and I found everything. The only thing that fucked me up was where the boat is at the end of the game, and you have to get the landmines. That was some sort of glitch with that. But I'd pretty much done everything, and this I'm not too sure how far I'll go. I mean, I'll I'm going through it to have some fun and play stuff. I mean, because until, like, I don't think... One sec. Let me have a look at my list. Call up Amazon. But yeah, I was sort of looking at my list of my wish list of stuff. Here we go. Games to buy. That's the wrong wish list. Nope. Come on, you bastard. Here we go. Yeah, sorry. Games to buy. I mean, I've got like what? Dragon Age is in October. Call of Duty is not until November. Assassin's Creed's October. August we've got Metro Redux, which I can't wait. I really want to play Metro 2033 again. And Metro Last Light needs a second playthrough because that is such an awesome game. Also in November we've got Far Cry 4. PGA Tour, NHL, and FIFA. I mean, there's a new trailer for FIFA today. I mean, all these sports games aren't until September. So there's stuff coming out that I want to play, and it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time before it does. Just sort of time rolls on, because, I mean, it's 1st of July now. My birthday's next Wednesday, so, and then we've got the MLR event about a month from then. So it's like 5-6 weeks away now. And, pretty much once that's over and I'm back from the States, it'll pretty much be halfway through August. About a week after I come back, I'll have Metro. And then, September, we've got Destiny, which I need to pre-order that as well, because I can get access to the beta, which I can't wait. I want to play some Destiny again. I'm sort of scratching around it, itching. I'm like, can I just play some Destiny now, please? There's so much stuff that I want to play. But, yeah, say Tomb Raider has taken up and will. I mean, I'm off work next week, so I'll quickly knock out Tomb Raider. I'll play loads more of MLB. I've seen a bunch of stuff. I think Valiant Story, I think it was. I was watching a review for that off Game Trailers, I think it was. That looks like a pretty interesting game, sort of World War One sort of side scroll story puzzle game. Sort of very fun. It looks very entertaining, and from what I've heard, the story is very deep. So, as you know me, I like a deep story. It's what I like. But no, I mean, this thing, I want loads of games to play, and just waiting for them to come out is a pain. But I mean, the way games cost these days, it's probably better that we're looking at one or two games a month, if I'm lucky. I mean, shit, November's going to be a pain for me. Call of Duty, Far Cry 4, we've got, pretty much Assassin's Creed at the end of October. I know that will sort of coincide with, that whole month of November's pay packet, pretty much, that I get to myself will be on those games. I think I might wait for Call of Duty, to be honest, because I'm not that fast. But I'll wait and see how that does and what people think. I won't rush into that. I mean, stuff like Far Cry 4, yes, I definitely want to play that because it looks amazing. And if it's as good as Far Cry 3, I know I'm going to have a lot of fun with it. Assassin's Creed, you can't say no to Assassin's Creed. Even though it's pretty much rinse and repeat what we get in these days, I do want to play some Assassin's Creed. I just think, what else? There's other stuff. But it sort of leads into our topic this week, which is basically on the worst games that people have played. Now, I mean, I've been playing games for over 20 years now. Man and boy. I have played some really good games, which I think next week, I mean, I think I've already talked about this. What do you call it? I think I've probably all done like my favourite games. As the show's gotten bigger and more listeners are interacting now, I'll sort of go over it again. And the fact that, it's my birthday show, so fuck it, I'll do what I want. I want to do the best games we've ever played, the favourite stuff, all that. I want to know, you listeners, listen to this on the download. Get in touch with me. I've given you all the details. Go to morelikeradio.com. Check out the Facebook. We're all over the place. Get in touch with me. Let me know what your favourite games that you've been playing. Best bits as well. I want to know every damn thing that you want to tell me, because I will read it out on the air and I'll give you a shout out and a mention. As I say, I talk about the iTunes stuff. Let me know that you've given us a review. And I will read your name out, give you a plug, give you a shout out. Make it so that you're somebody. One of us, part of the More Like Radio community, which we're always trying to develop. We always want you to be with us and listen to all the shows on the station. But yeah, I say, you know, I'll go into the listeners' ones because you are more important to me than pretty much anything in my life. What else was it? Here we go. Yeah, from Alex, one of the newest guys in the Facebook group. Yeah, he said about his favorite. His not his favorite. His worst game. Yeah, he said it was Dead Rising 2, which I don't super understand fully. I mean, I do, to be honest, but I'm like, I can see where he's going, but I mean, you had to have some fun with it. But I mean, the whole, I mean, I can agree totally. I can totally agree. Because I mean, you know, I bought Dead Rising 1 with Frank West, and then Dead Rising 2 with, what the hell was the guy's name? One second. One second. Let's have a look. Dead Rising 2. There we go. What was the character's name? Plot. Chuck Green. Yes. I can agree. I can agree with Alex about the fact that it wasn't tumultuous. To me, it wasn't a bad game. It was more Dead Rising, more killing zombies, more weapons, customization. You know, all the shit I loved. But yeah, I mean, I can agree the fact that I think what Alex wants with this is the fact that, you know, we didn't have Frank West back as the main protagonist, like he should have been, but we did get, Dead Rising 2. What the hell was that called? One second. But yeah, I mean, we got Frank West. Off the record. There we go. Yeah, Dead Rising 2 off the record, which had Frank West in, which I played and I completed that. The last boss was very fucking hard. But yeah, I mean, we did get we got the DLC that came out for Dead Rising 2 with Frank West in it, and basically jump-started a whole lot of people saying, well, yes, can we have this book? Can we have this game with Frank West? Because that was what we wanted. That was the whole thing. I mean, people are enjoying Dead Rising 3. I mean, I think JJ's got it from 360 and 420, which can be heard tomorrow night. I think it's 11 o'clock after... After the Red Show, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I can agree, you know, that my whole lackluster thing with the Dead Rising 2, as Alex was, I think it's probably with the fact that, you know, it wasn't Frank. I mean, he was a great character. We all loved him. He's a good guy, you know. He's just there trying to, you know, get his story. And, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, with the Dead Rising games, it's not much there story-wise, but the characters are... It's one of those rare games that it feels special to play, and Dead Rising 2 didn't exactly have that same feeling because I can compare it to Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty. It's like, yeah, we played all this, we had so much fun with Solid Snake, and then you know you give us Dead Rising 2, you give us the tanker mission, we play as Solid Snake, and then you basically go to the big shell where you're playing as Raiden. It's like, we don't want to play as Raiden. We want to play as Solid Snake because he's cool, because it's Solid Snake. And I think that's pretty much the thing for Dead Rising 2. It just wasn't, you know, it wasn't what we should have got. But we did get Dead Rising 2 off the record, which I played. It was a good game. I liked it. Yeah, I mean... I'm a big fan of the whole zombie... I think Dead Rising 2 on my Xbox 360 was one of the games for gold that we got a few months ago. But yeah, it's just, you know... It was okay for what it was, but, you know, it wasn't what we should have got. And I think that's what, you know, pissed Alex off. But, yeah, I'll go to the other people. We had, you know, from Matthew, you know, you just, Stuart from... Hooter and Greenway back in the day. He's saying his worst games were Kasumi Ninja for the Atari Jaguar. I think I played this. I know what I did play. I can't remember the hell. I think I played it on the Atari 2600, I think. Maybe. One second, let me look this up. Yeah, you know, I'll do a bit of stuff on the fly. Because I played something. Let's have a look at this. Let's go to the image. That's fun. That's great. Yeah. Well, I go for a Kasumi Ninja and it comes up with a Dead or Alive character. One second. Atari. Here we go. Yes. Oh yeah, it's a beat 'em up. Yeah. I played something completely different. It was like an isometric sort of game. It was like a ninja thing. That was a pile of shit. I can't remember this thing. This was like, you know, generations ago. This was like 20 years ago. But yeah, he's saying, you know, for the Atari Jaguar, Kasumi Ninja. Bad graphics, bad controls, bad voice acting, ridiculous special moves, over-the-top blood and gore. And hang on, let me look this up again. Sorry, one sec. Asumi. No. Kasumi Ninja, Atari Jaguar. When did this come out? Tons of stuff on YouTube. I don't want that. 94. So when did, hang on, 94, when did Mortal Kombat come out? Totally doing this all on the fly, listeners. Mortal Kombat. Here we go. Yeah, Mortal Kombat. There we go. Mortal Kombat came out in 93. Yeah, so basically, Kasumi Ninja was a Mortal Kombat clone. Of course, I mean, you know, you look at, you know, all the fighting games we got during that era. Killer Instinct. I mean, we had, just Virtual Fighter wasn't the whole super gore stuff. But, you mean, you look at, was it Clay Fighters? What do you expect? I mean, I can see what he's saying. I mean, look at the game, the graphics, you know, bad graphics, but it was the 90s, and it was, you know, we just had Mortal Kombat come out in 1993. Yeah, it's basically, it was the whole line of, beat 'em up clones that we got. You know, there's tons that came out over the era. But yeah, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, his comment here was liked by me and, my producer Matt. But yeah, Matt is saying he sent The Heretic for PC was pretty heinous. I don't know. I think I know of The Heretic. Let me look that up as well. Let's have a look. But yeah, but Matty's second choice is a definite for me. It's on my list as well. Heretic. Okay, PC. Oh, shit. OC. Yeah, Heretic video game. Heretic is a dark fantasy. I'm just reading this off the wiki. Dark fantasy first-person shooter video game created by Ravensoft in 1994. It's available on Steam since 2007. Let's just have a look at some images of this. How shit this game is. 1993. There we go. It's, as I said, with Stuart's choice, it was Kasumi Ninja, which was a Mortal Kombat clone. Now we have The Heretic, which is what Matty's saying. And that's basically a Doom clone. pretty much, everything's a clone these days. All the shit we've had, we're like Flappy Bird and all the clones that came out of that. And Angry Birds, all the clones we got out of that. It's basically, if it works, copy it. Pretty much how things are in the games industry. Yeah, Matty's second choice, I can agree with. The first Halo. I mean, I as I've said dozens of times, no love for Halo, but I've played most of the games. The first Halo, I couldn't get into it. I really tried. I mean, I went back and I bought it off the Xbox Live store a couple of years ago, Halo Reach came out. Yeah, when Halo Reach came out, I thought, I've beaten two, I'll go through one. I got a couple of levels in. I mean, I think I got to the second level. It's basically set at night time, and basically there's like all you're doing sort of stealthy stuff. I got as far as that, and I'm like, this is dog shit. I mean, mainly because it's, the graphics have changed over the past 10 years when that first came out, but it just wasn't an interesting game. It was very dull. I mean, I don't get the love for Halo, to be honest, people. It's, I know I probably should. Everyone else seems to love Halo. All you people I can see popping up in the chat, let me know what your worst games are, because I can see there's a whole bunch of you in there now. Halo, it just wasn't what I was hoping to get from the game. I'm a big fan of first-person shooters, but, I mean, the Master Chief, the character modeling looks shit. I mean, Cortana looks pretty cool. I thought that was pretty good. The whole computer AI sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, just sort of, it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be when I played it. So I just talk to the chat here. One second. Yeah, it just wasn't what I was hoping to get from it, which is a disappointment. I mean, it's why I did pick up Halo 2. I played through that mainly because I'm a big fan of Keith David. I mean, the guy's awesome. But yeah, I wanted to get more. I don't know, something from it. I mean, because I say I'm a big sci-fi fan and I'm a big shooter fan, and I wanted to play stuff that was, you know, a mix of both. And you sort of get it with Halo because the weapons are great. I love the weapons; they're great. But it feels too much like a PC game. I've played several PC games. I'm not, the super PC gamer that, the lads over at Rage Quit Radio are. But it's like, it just wasn't what I was pretty much after, to be honest, when it came to, as a shooter. And, Matty didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it either. I mean, I know where my copy is. My original copy of this is, I played it about 12, 13 years ago, back when I was in, my old job. I sort of swapped it with a mate of mine, and basically we sort of kept each other's games because he wasn't that fussed. But yeah, it didn't really bother me that I didn't get it back because I was like, just no interest in playing it. But yeah, it's just one of those games. I mean, I think I got Serious Sam from him as well, and that's a shit game as well. I mean, there's so many clones of that as well. Serious Sam is a clone. Oh, excuse me. But yeah, Serious Sam, that's another shitty game on my list. But yeah, he says also, I think any game based on Star Trek would tie for number two. Yeah, there hasn't been any decent Star Trek games. I wish there was. But it's just, how do you make a Star Trek game? It's sort of things that we have as a genre that we can make games about. It's like, there's no real. I mean, Star Wars stuff, yes, it's understandable. You can be a Jedi. You can be a pilot and whatever. But I mean, when it comes to Star Trek, what are you? Just like an ensign and you get like a phaser? There's not enough scope in there to make a game from. Which is understandable, if you think at it logically. But yeah, I mean, I can understand what he's saying. He also says as well, any Facebook games all tie number one. Yeah, I mean, I played Candy Crush back in the day. I played Candy Crush. It was fun, until I got stuck and couldn't be bothered anymore. But yeah, just gave up. And most of these Facebook games, I'm just too not bothered about, to be honest. But yeah, Brian, he's in here in the Facebook group. He commented on Siphon Filter, which is on my list. Now, this game is like one of several which the demo was better than the actual game. I mean, I'll start because I'll lean to my list as well because we're on Siphon Filter. The Siphon Filter demo was literally not a few minutes. It was a small area of the first level. Basically, you'd start off where you'd been dropped off, and then you had to go to this bank or something. There's some part of Chinatown, and you'd have to sort of take out these soldiers, and you go to this bank and disarm something, and then you have to go in the subway, and then it would just stop. But I mean, that whole part was, the whole part of that whole part of the game was fun. Everything after that was shit because I actually did pick the game up, find it somewhere in some cheap old bargain bucket bin and whatever. The controls are shit. The graphics weren't anything good. I mean, back in the day they were okay. I mean, Brian agrees with me I agree with what Brian says about the taser was the funniest thing to use because you aim your taser at someone and they would just sort of stand up straight and start shaking around. And you'd see them like sparks shooting off. And it was good as well. If you kept it on them, they would catch on fire. And that was like the best part of the game. Sort of literally watching them burnt to death. because we're all sick statistic fucks. But yeah, Siphon Filter, so many games, sequels that we're getting. I mean, yeah, big props to you if you're a big fan of Siphon Filter series, but just did nothing for me. And it's like, yeah, just trying to play it. It was just so awkward and clunky. But yeah, one of my list, that's pretty much one off my list. But yeah, I mean, stuff that will go back into my list now. Fear, as I say, the demo for Fear was really, really scary. Sort of shit your pants scary. But playing the game, it was like a first person shooter with horror elements. Whereas the demo was like a very scary game. It's like, I'm just trying to remember bits and pieces. Like there was a bit where he's walking down this hallway into this sort of room or something, and it was like a dead end, and there was like a little girl who walked across the screen. And it was like, okay, there's a girl there. And they get into this main area of the room, and there's no other doors or windows or anything. And I was like, wow, where the fuck did she go? She was like, she was there, and then she wasn't. It was like, it was scary. It was very, very scary. I mean, I'm not super scared of much, but I mean, I do like a good horror game, scary, scare the shit out of you, because, they're fun. But yeah, I mean, other points as well, it's like there was a bit where you're on a sort of metal walkway and you've got those sounds going off around you and you're sort of walking along this metal plank, and then there's a bit where the ladder goes down. You get onto that ladder, you turn around, the controller takes over and you basically go to slide down the ladder, and you see the little girl's legs standing at the top of the fucking ramp where you'd just gone down the ladder. And I was like, holy shit, who the fuck was that? And then you'd go back up again and literally there'd be nothing there. And it was like, this is cool, this is scary, I want to play more. But then it came to the main game. It was warehouse after warehouse. Katie from Talk Radio Meltdown, I think she likes Fear, and there's several other people I know that play the Fear series, all the play Fear games. I mean, I think I did pick up Fear 2, and I fucking took it straight back again because it was so shit. It's like, yeah, give me the fucking scary. It's like, I mean, I've heard the older story, the fact that there was two characters of brothers, and was it Alma was the mother, and it was like, yeah, it's just weird and stupid and shitty, and there's whole psychic powers, and yeah, it's like, yeah, this game would be great if it was made today, like with today's generation, and a better studio, to be honest. But it was just sort of so many warehouses, and I mean, I'm playing this game like, trying to the Fear 1, I'm like, why the fuck am I doing this? Why should I bother? I mean, I don't think I sold it again. I think I just threw the fucker away to save everyone else the painful torture of playing this fucking thing. But yeah, the demo for Fear was great. If it's still out there, I recommend everyone try and find a copy, play the Fear demo, because you're going to enjoy that a lot more, and it's going to be more shit-your-pants scary than the actual game, which is a pile of shit anyway. But play the demo. It's a lot of fun. But, Fear, one of the worst games I've ever played. This one had great props. I mean, a lot of people talking about it, and I was just sort of playing it, and it was just so clunky and awkward. This was on the PlayStation 1. It's called G-Police. I mean, I love the premise. I mean, now looking back, the fact that I've watched Blade Runner, it's sort of akin to that. You were sort of flying around the ship, and there was other stuff, other enemies in ships. It was sort of setting a city. The graphics were okay. I mean, it was all cityscape, and it did have that sort of closed-in feeling because you were on a ship, this sort of spaceship that was sort of flying around the cities. It was okay. It's just... it's one of those things. I mean, you go back to the PlayStation 1 these days and you think about a lot of the stuff that we did get. It just wasn't what we should have been getting at the time. The whole mass-produced stuff, make your games, what the hell was it? Just make the stuff, as quick as possible to get the games out in time. But yeah, I think about, I wanted to have more fun with that, sort of G-Police, but it just wasn't wasn't super fun. Another thing on my list, Ace Combat Assault Horizon. Now, you lot know how much of a piece of shit game I hated this fucking thing. I love the Ace Combat series. I mean, I've got Puddle of Mud's Blurry on my iPod because of it was in, I think, Armored Core. What the fuck is it? All the games with A and C in the title. Ace Combat, I think it was 4, I think it was. One sec, let me check that out. More stuff on the old go. But yeah, Ace Combat, Assault Horizon, they wanted to be more arcadey feeling, and I'm like, no, I don't want that. Yeah, here we go. Puddle of Mud. Oh, shit. Puddle of Mud. Blurry. Yeah, what game was that in? Ace Combat 5. Yeah. Ace Combat 5. What the hell fuck was it? Yeah, Ace Combat 5, The Unsung War, which is a great game. So all the Ace Combat games were really good, apart from, apart from fucking Assault Horizon. And it was just so bad. The flying was good, but then it would come to when you had to attack your target, you had to go into dogfight mode because they really wanted to make the dogfighting more realistic. I'm like, yeah, if I get close enough to someone, I'm going to fucking shoot them with my guns. But I'm not going to get that close unless it's basically... because just with these games, you get the whole lead fighter in a squadron... who's going to be really hard to attack, and basically you've got to really get up their arse to take him out. So basically you try and, fire some missiles, dodge them off, and then get in close, and then take them out with the guns. But with Ace Combat, it's like all you could do to take out leaders was use the dogfight mode. And it's like, no, just let me use my missiles, and let me play the game as I normally would. This game let you use a helicopter as well, and it just didn't work. It just felt so shit, and... This is why we haven't had a decent flying game in ages, because there's probably a couple of others that I haven't played, but Ace Combat's my shit. It's the stuff I like playing. And Assault Horizon totally knocked me down a peg when it came to, Ace Combat games. It just disappointed me very, very much. Other games that disappointed me, even though I'm a big fan of the series, Final Fantasy 13 and everything that we've got with 13-2, Lightning Returns. The game was just so awful. And people like this. I can't believe how. The graphics are good. Yes, of course they are, because it's Final Fantasy. They make sure the graphics are the best thing in the world. But the story... now looking back and seeing how the whole story evolves, we're in time travel, and it's like, nah, you've convoluted that fucking thing worse than fucking Supernatural. True Blood and half that shitty shows that are out these days. You were this fighter woman trying to protect your family, your sister, and it's like, yeah, she got turned into a crystal and then you went to look for something. And so I can't even remember. It was so boring, boring and pointless. So many problems wrong with Final Fantasy. The combat, it was like, yeah, you could make set parties of... it sort of used the same sort of combat system as Final Fantasy X-2, the whole dress system where you could change your characters to be, like a mage or something like that. And it's like, no, this just doesn't work either. And it's just annoying the hell out of me. And I just sort of gave up with this game. I think I threw this away as well because it was like, yeah, no one should suffer playing this shitty game. Fucking my instincts kicked in, my instincts kicked in playing this, watching the trailer. I'm like, this doesn't feel like a good game. It doesn't feel like it's going to be a good game. And I should have fucking listened to my instincts because I played it, and yeah, it was a piece of shit. Combat was crap. Story was crap. It's just awful. It's sort of like with the Transformers movie. It's like, after seeing 2 and 3, I really appreciate 1. Even though it's a terrible movie... Like, the first Transformers movie was a terrible movie. I appreciate it more because of how shitty 2 and 3 is. And now that we've got 4, and that's, 2 hours and 40 minutes? I was listening to Cut Print Film today. 2 hours and 40 minutes? I read the wiki in about 2 minutes. That's good enough for me. It's just because you make one shitty game doesn't mean you need to try and, make sequels of it to try and make it better. No, you move on. You cut that shit and you go on to new games. That's why we want Final Fantasy 15, which... We haven't seen much. We saw fuck all of it at E3, which was only like a couple of weeks ago. But obviously they're working on it. But I'm hoping for some decent Final Fantasy. We're all after a Final Fantasy 7 remake. Just give me that. I'll be happy. Maybe a Final Fantasy 8 remake. I love Final Fantasy 8. Final Fantasy 9, awesome. 10 was good. I played the remastered version of that. I'm good with that. But, give me something to play. Give me, fucking Square. I want like a triple triad arcade game, like multiplayer sort of thing. That'd be fun, you know. Give me something like that. The first game was great. Everything after was terrible. Driver. I mean, the worst thing about the first Driver game was the fact that you had to do a license. You had to sort of do these tests to prove that you can drive. I hate any game that makes you do some sort of test to prove that you can drive. Because basically, we're not driving in a real fucking car, so there's no need to do a real fucking test. I mean, what pissed me off with Test Drive Unlimited 2. Great game. Really good game. I mean, yes, it was buggy as hell when I lost my game save. I had to get my mate to do the test for me because I couldn't fucking do it. But yeah, it just... Driver. Just let me drive a car. It's very simple. It's not a real car. There's no gear sticks or anything like that. It's literally, I'm using buttons. There's no need to sort of break the mold when it comes to this sort of stuff or take the game out of the game. You know, take driving out of the game. You know, it's the same with Kinect, and that's why it's fucking failing. Just let me push the buttons that I'm supposed to push, and I will go and whatever, you know, because when you play this, you know, it's the same with any game. No one's automatically good and amazing at games that involve vehicles. It's like, yeah, I will get better at driving. I mean, what the fuck is it? Watch Dogs. I shit at driving in the beginning of the game. You got so much better later in the game, mainly because I use bikes and they're so much easier. But yeah, I got so much better at the driving with Watch Dogs later in the game. If I had to do this test at the start, I'm like, I have got no experience. And, you know, with Driver 1, you were basically driving in a little garage. You had to sort of do in and out of the supports for the garage. The game was great. But Driver 2, 3, really shit games. I mean, that recent one, Driver San Francisco, where I think the Tanner was in a coma and you were sort of jumping from body to body. Yeah, don't even bother playing that. I've just heard so much shit about it. But yeah, first Driver was good. It's just everything after that was a pile of monkey shit, to be honest. Siphon Filter was on my list as well. Street Fighter. Now, I like beat-em-ups. I mean, talked to a guy at work. You know, I asked him the same question. Street Fighter, one of his worst games. I mean, it's just because it's so pretentious. It's like, you know, I bought Street Fighter 4 when it first came out, like the original Street Fighter 4, not this Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter Turbo, Super Street Fighter with a Terry on top. It's like, yeah, I played, you know, Street Fighter 4 when it came out. I thought, yep, Street Fighter, I'll get into this. I'll try and get good. Too damn hard to play. I've got, you know, I have fucking dustbin lids for hands. I have giant hands. I can't move my fingers. You know, I've got big, thick fingers as well. And it's like, yeah, I can't move my hands as fast as you want because they're so big, it takes time. I'm not exactly a short guy. I'm a big 6'7" monster. But yeah, I say Street Fighter. I watched a load of videos on YouTube about how to pull off the moves and how to get good at it. It's like, and these people, these arseholes will talk about, okay, now when he goes to punch and you start to see 0.7th of an animation, I'm not joking, this is sort of shit's real. You know, you see most of the animation for it, you do a cutback, and then basically you press this and it will sort of, freeze the animation and then you can hit it. And it's like, no, it's just too much in-depth bullshit. I'm like, that's why it makes me laugh when I see all these posts on all these gaming sites about the fact that some Street Fighter tournament and that this kid's like the best Street Fighter player in the world. I'm like, okay, that's nice. But in real life, I just walk up behind you and punch you in the head for being so damn stupid. But yeah, I try to get in. I mean, I love, you know, my games of choice for first person shooters for beat 'em ups, Mortal Kombat, Tekken, that's it. That's pretty much it. I mean, sorry, we'll talk about fighters. Mortal Kombat 3, I didn't like. 2 was great, you know, follow up from 1. 3 was a bit, it just, I don't know, mainly because my sister kept beating the shit out of me at it. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't too keen on Mortal Kombat 3 either. It just didn't feel like it was supposed to. But, you know, that's one of the things. But something else, minor stuff, like stuff that I didn't like in games. Dead Space. I love Dead Space. But the bit in the first Dead Space when you're shooting asteroid, Oh, that was annoying as hell. Very terrible. I hated that. I was like just trying to, it took me like so many times just to do that bit worthless, you know, points. It's like, yeah, we get hit by asteroids, but asteroids have been hitting the ship the whole fucking game, and now you want me to take them out with a gun? It just doesn't make sense at all. It's just a waste of damn time. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Other stuff, you know, go to shooters now. Medal of Honor Airborne. My mate at work, he lent me this. Yeah, I, you know, I'm a big Medal of Honor fan. They were the, you know, they were the top runners when it came to first-person shooters back in the day. And then they came out with Medal of Honor Airborne for the Xbox 360. I think it was PlayStation 3 as well. Just terrible, terrible game. I mean, it just didn't feel... I mean, I like the whole premise, the fact that you could parachute in to certain points, but the enemies were sort of overpowered. And they sort of knew... It's the same thing. It's like they knew where you were all the time, and you had no real, you know, way of... taking them down, as you know, killing them. It's just like non-stop enemy after wave after wave of enemies. And even with the whole thing with the fact that the game is, they want you to parachute into certain locations, you only had to go a certain way in the game to get because basically you had to go in through the front door. You couldn't like go behind the back behind the back door and then take them all that out that way, because they were still stronger at certain locations. So basically you had to take them out where they was weaker. And that's basically pretty much at the beginning level. So it's like, what the hell are you parachuting me at? Why am I parachuting in? Why don't I just run down there and take him out as I go along? Like we do in other Medal of Honor games. But yeah, Medal of Honor Airborne, a very terrible game, which I tried to get into several times because I borrowed it off me, mate, a couple of times. I was like, yeah, let me try and do something, get this, get past the first level. Never fucking happened. I mean, loads of people hated this game. I mean, you know, it's the same with that. The most recent Medal of Honor game, that sort of, they stopped making Medal of Honor games now because, you know, Call of Duty's number one. There's nothing else to it. Shooters, anything done by Treyarch, that's half the Call of Duty list there and then. You know, I mean, I loved the multiplayer for Call of Duty 3 when it was on the Xbox 360. But the story, the main game was shit. World at War was shit. Just basically everything we've got between then, the Black Ops stuff, I didn't like that. I mean, I liked the whole story because it was basically... You know, it's weird to how many games have done the whole Fight Club story. I mean, Black Ops, first Black Ops did the Fight Club story, and then we had, like, was it Grand Theft Auto? God, I can't remember. Some other games did the whole, you know, Fight Club thing as well. But yeah, I mean, another game as well, World War II one, which I was not interested in buying. It was literally a random pickup. Because I'm like, I was bored, I needed something to play, and there's nothing going on. Hour of Victory. This game was terrible. And then, like, probably the worst Xbox games that we got. Just terrible, terrible. First-person shooter. Aiming was terrible. The characters were running around crazily. It was so buggy and broken. It's just a really, really bad game that, you know, wasn't made. And... yeah, it was a terrible, terrible game. But, you know, I've got to take a break in a few seconds. It just made me wonder, though, because, I mean, I did have some questions for this, but I pretty much sort of gone in and answered them anyway. But it was just like, what would we say a bad game is... would we say a bad game is something that didn't do it for us what we wanted it to? And, you know, that was pretty much one of the sort of questions I was going to ask. Sort of, yes. I mean, if we don't like what the game does for us, then it puts us on a downward turn for the enjoyment that we're supposed to be getting with this. But that could also be said for, you know, I had it on the tip of my tongue earlier. I can't remember. But yeah, I say the game has to do what do for us what we want it to. But we also don't want it to be buggy, and, you know, that's what I say makes a bad game. That's what I was going to say. This will make a bad game. It's like, yeah, if it's buggy, if it's not planned out properly, if, you know, it pains me the amount of games that I've played over the years. You know, I've played hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games. I've played so many games. It's like trying to think of this is hard because I have played so many good games. Trying to think of a list of bad games that I've played, it is very tricky trying to get it sorted. But yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking now about other stuff that I've played. Yeah, so much, as I say, because next week we're talking about all the good games that I've played and you've played, so I want to know about that. But trying to think of you know, bad stuff. It's hard. I mean, it's good because the good games that we played have outweighed the bad. So basically, I have been playing more good games than bad games, which, you know, to be honest, I should be, because you know, you get used to certain studios. I mean, you know, I think about, was it Fable 3? It wasn't exactly a bad game. It just wasn't as good as what 2 was, and I don't know, some of this stuff, it just does a number on you. It really does. But yeah, I've pretty much been talking for a whole hour, and I need a break, because I want to have some more beer, and I've got something to eat. But yeah, thanks for all the answers I got from people. I do appreciate it. I appreciate it quite a lot. But yeah, don't forget, next week, doing favourite topics. It's my birthday show, so literally I want to know the best games you played and why. All the favourites, you know, favourite stuff you played that you've enjoyed. You know, once I've come back from break, I'll give you all the details again for how to get in touch, and then I'll go into the new segment. But I'll be taking a quick break, and I'll be back to you in about 8-9 minutes after these messages.
And Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least 2 extra numbers and 1 extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we know
sign.
For sure. Yeah. It's a sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
More like radio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all gonna be on fucking podcast. Oh boy.
I told you. I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude, like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night. But he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used drunk me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420. Only on morelikeradio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling.
celebrating 15 years of ultra violence. Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high stakes, high flying, and hard hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra violent underground.
Looking to go to the biggest internet radio live event on the Eastern Seaboard? Well, go to the second annual More Like Radio live event, a tribute to Otto Peterson, Saturday, August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair. Come see your favorite comedians and possibly Mersh if you could get a ride. $10 suggested donation. All proceeds would go to benefit the Otto Peterson family. August 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. at Just Jake's in Montclair.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Let's say it three more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, but down, bow, down. Wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
And murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, three of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan! It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway! Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth! I've thought this through a lot! Stan... You're a lousy kid! I wish Jaden Smith was my son!
And welcome back, people, to part two of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com. This is where we get into the news, all the good stuff that's going on. But as I said before the break, you know, want to contact the show, Antisocial Game Radio on Skype. Email us at antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. Also, you can join our Facebook group, Beer's starting to kick in now. I've had another one. Facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. Also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also follow us on Twitter at MLRGamerRadio. But yeah, I say as the second hour is well underway, I will get into some new stuff. Bits and pieces this week, not too much. I mean, it's still... it's weird, right? I mean, I'm seeing all these posts pop up about, like, awards for E3, and it's like, God, you know, I mean, yes, E3 was only a few weeks ago, but all these awards, like Critics' Choice Awards, whatever awards, the bullshit or graffiti. I mean, I was like, what the fuck? I was looking at Kotaku, and they were talking about the half-year awards for gaming 2014. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? How bored and shitty are you? And I was like, you know, I posted, I don't know, Watch Dogs, because you know, the good stuff hasn't come out yet. Because I named it earlier. I was like, yeah, I want all the good stuff, but we've got Destiny, we've got Call of Duty, we've got Assassin's Creed. We've got all the same shit that we get every fucking year, but it's like, it's not out yet. We have to wait a few months. There's nothing coming out now, which is why, you know, everything's sporadic, basically. Okay, where do we start? Okay, let's have a look. What the hell was I looking at earlier? I was looking at something. Here we are. Yes, this. Now, I'm excited for this. I really am. Because I'm, you know, as I said to you about Fear, I like a scary game. I want it to scare the shit out of me. Dead Space, yes. Alien Isolation, this is off CVG. Alien Isolation is about 15 hours long, they say. But stealthy players could get through it fairly quickly, says lead game designer. Okay. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. This is the last about 15 hours. Yes, whatever. Carry on. The Creative Assembly lead game designer, Gary Napper, told the Angry Joe show. Never heard of that before. I listened to the Cousin Joe show. The game's actually about 15 hours long because we've got so much to do with the narrative and all the different mechanics of the alien. Now, I'm going to sort of transition for a second because I'm really excited for this game, but that worries me. There's only one alien. So basically, to be honest, we're getting the alien movie. You know, I mean, yes, I know it's about Ripley's daughter and all that's trying to find a mum, blah, 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 no one gives a shit, whatever. But there's only one alien, and I know it's set between the Alien and Aliens, so we haven't got all the you know, plasma cannons and whatever the fuck shit we got, like, with Colonial Marines. But it's like, yeah, it's just one alien. It's only one. It's not very... It's not very... it's not... It's, well... I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to see what the reviews are like before I pick it up. I mean, there's not many times I do listen to a review, but I mean, this I will, you know, I will listen to a review before I even do bother, you know, playing the game. But I mean, it's been years since I've seen the first Alien movie. So they just sort of flush out of an airlock. Couldn't you sort of do that as well? Just sort of like jump into an airlock, lure the alien towards you. I don't know, run between its legs, kick it in there, shut the doors. Pop at the airlock. Here, done. 15 minutes. But I'll carry on reading this article. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing the game. It's going to be good. Says, on top of that, we have other threats about the station. We have a big, big long story that folds out. Also, it's like a bit. It's a bit like a Metroidvania game. Where you have a linear story you go through, but you can also go back and explore areas you've been to. You can go back to the areas to find new things, explore, and open up new areas. There's a lot to do in the world. Now that makes it better. But my whole worry is the fact that you've got this one alien chasing you through the whole game, and it's like it just makes me feel weird about this. I want something that's... I'm not even sure. You know, it's nice that they said the whole Metroidvania. I'm a big fan of that, you know, going through bits and pieces again. But I mean, where you're on one part of the station, where the hell is the alien going to be? Is it supposed to be chasing you the whole game?
Or is it going to be, yep, chasing you, lost your scent, and it's looking around while you're doing some other, like, two or three levels of, I don't know, trying to fix the oxygen or something like that? And, you know, what's the alien going to be doing? I mean, the whole point is the alien's supposed to be chasing you. That's why it's probably better to do a game where you're, you know, like Colonial Marines was, where there's loads of aliens and you've got guns. And maybe, I don't know, I probably, trust, when I play this, when I do get around to playing this game, I'll probably feel a whole lot different. But, yeah, I'll carry on reading. The difficult thing is nailing a time, because people can play for absolute ages without seeing the alien, because they're being really careful and really stealthy, which is how I'm going to play it, because I don't really want to get my face eaten off by a fucking alien. They've done nothing to call him down, or there have been no explosions that he has come to investigate. Those people can go through it fairly quickly. That's pretty cool. But, I mean, is there any weapons or anything, or is you just getting the fucking radar gun thing that they give you from the movies to spot the alien? But as CVG wrote in its E3 Alien Isolation preview, the xenomorph which stalks you ominously throughout the game is not your only enemy aboard the Sevastopol space station. Human and androids are also a threat. While the space station appears completely deserted, other humans, former workers, it seems, still remain and are very much alive. Human encounters are almost as intense as the alien ones. In fact, they offer up a slight moral dilemma, because you can't help but sympathise with them. So that's good. Now that is making me more interested in the game. It's nice that there's an alien there, but you're bulking it up with these other human characters. They're all, you know, they all seen the alien, or, you know, androids and shit. You know, there's Bishop, and, you know, if there is a sort of, you know, a Bishop series, you know, don't know. Wait and see. See, that gets me excited. But, I mean, the whole thing where the game shouldn't be focused. See, it's two-headed, it's double-sided coin. It's like, yeah, it's good that there's more to it, but the downside is that it's an alien game. We should just be fighting the alien, but there's other stuff that's going on. But I'm sort of hoping, from what I'm thinking in my head now, the madness that is, that we get that something that's sort of like Dead Space, how that was. You know, the aliens running around and there's other people and interaction, that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this. Really looking forward to this game. Hopefully it'll be the alien game that we do want and we always should have had. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, the beer's kicking in. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be good when it comes out, and hopefully the reviews will be positive, and I'll pick it up. But yeah, it's one of the things on my list anyway to pick up. But here we go. Something for people who, so I think I talked about this a bit about this last week. Crytek's rise to canned as financial struggle spreads to Shanghai. Yesterday, Kotaku reported that Rise 2 has been canned. This is from Eurogamer. Canned because of a conflict between Crytek and Microsoft over who would own the rights to the franchise. Eurogamer's own sources confirmed this today. One person close to Crytek told us a pre-production deal for Rise 2 was on the cards, and that Microsoft wanted to do the deal, but its terms proved a sticking point. Apparently, in exchange for funding Rise 2's developments, Microsoft wanted to take over the Rise intellectual property, something Crytek couldn't agree to. So both parties decided not to continue. Retaining IP is important for independent developers, as we've seen from the likes of Bungie with Destiny and Respawn with Titanfall. The thing with Bungie, though, they weren't part of Microsoft, then they were part of Microsoft, then they fucked off again, and now they're making Destiny. And Respawn with Titanfall, yeah, they were part of Activision with oh, the fuck is it? Not Sledgehammer, was before that. Shit. Oh, crap in arseholes. Damn it. Why is this escaping my mind for some reason? You know what game I'm talking, you know, Infinity Ward. There we go. Infinity Ward. You know, they were part of Infinity Ward, then the whole not Breaking Bad, what the fuck am I thinking of? Battlefield Bad Company thing, that whole debacle happened, and then they all fucked off, and there was lawsuits and money and shit. And, whole bunch of mess of stuff that I don't really want to get into. But yeah, I'll carry on reading. Thus, after German magazine GameStar said Rise, Son of Rome's development was a disaster, Rise announced was announced in 2010 as an Xbox 360 Kinect exclusive called Codename Kingdoms. Was dodged but missed milestones and poor quality builds throughout its production, and at one point was nearly cancelled. As Eurogamer revealed in May 2011, the Crytek Budapest, the original developer of Rise, suffered around 50 redundancies after Microsoft had Crytek shift development of the game from Hungary to Frankfurt office in Germany, essentially effectively rebooting it as a controller-based Xbox One launch title. But yeah, is there anything else to this? Meanwhile, as the fallout from Crytek's financial struggle continues to hit home front developer Crytek UK, as well as its headquarters in Frankfurt, sources close to Crytek's Shanghai studio have told Eurogamer of its plight. Two people close to the studio said February's salary had been delayed to April. Half of March's salary was paid in late April, and the salary for April and May have not been paid, leaving her staff demoralised and upset. Now local authorities are getting involved. We've been told to force Crytek Shanghai to pay staff social insurance. Some are considering suing Crytek over breach of contract. Crytek declined to comment when contacted by Eurogamer. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit there going on, and there's more stuff going on in the Apex article. Yeah, basically it's just Crytek in the shit, basically. So we're not getting a Rise 2, which probably pleases a lot of people, but I mean, I didn't really play it because, you know, I haven't got an Xbox One, not yet anyway. But people are talking about this, and yeah, it's not going to cost us. It's not going to be what everyone wanted. Well, when it came out, it wasn't what everyone wanted, but it's a launch title. There aren't that many decent launch titles that come out for games. I mean, you go back to the Xbox 360 launch list, and what you got: Viva Pinata, Perfect Dark Zero. Damn it, that game, I can't remember it, what it's called, where you can, was it Caloni? I don't know, fuck knows what I'm thinking. But yeah, I'm gonna go over some Destiny stuff because I like Destiny. This came out the other day. Destiny's budget, nowhere near $500 million, Bungie says. And don't worry about the Peter Dinklage voice acting, which wasn't a problem. It's great, it's Peter Dinklage, the guy's awesome. This is from GameSpot as well, by the way. Back in May, Activision Chief Executive Officer Bobby Kotick revealed that the publisher will invest $500 million in Bungie's upcoming shooter Destiny. Since then, that figure has been associated with the development and marketing budget of the game, but Bungie recently said it isn't accurate. Responding to the fact that, was it $300 million were being put into Star Wars Knights of the Republic, I think it's more than that. I think that's probably close to $500 million, half a billion dollars, a whole fucking shitload of money. Responding to a question from a fan, Bungie's Eric Osborne repeated the developer's chief operating officer Pete Parsons explained. For marketing, you'd have to ask Activision people, but for development costs, nothing anywhere, anything close to $500 million. Parsons told Game Industry International in an interview. He says, "I think that speaks to a lot more to the long term investment that we're making in the future of the project. While pouring everything it takes into Destiny to ensure it meets our fans' expectations and our own." Osborne added, "Activision is too, but the budget for Destiny, including associated marketing costs and Pizza Wednesdays, I don't know why I laughed at that, is nowhere near $500 million. Well, if you're getting a pizza from Domino's and Papa John's, probably a whole shitload of money then. Bungie's most recent weekly updates also made clear that the Game of Thrones actor Peter Dinklage." I love that. It's for Game of Thrones, not for fucking Underdog. Voice actor for Ghost has already been updated for the beta, and that it will be updated again for the game when the game launches. Some players in Destiny and the Destiny Alpha fan is voice acting stiff and awkward, especially for the now infamous The Wizard That Came From the Moon line, which Bungie has since turned into a t-shirt, which I don't remember. I was too busy shooting shit, to be honest, to actually pay attention to lines, and now people have got shirts of, and whatever. But yeah, so in case you missed it, yesterday Bungie, as Danny told, 40 achievements and trophies, which I'm playing some on PlayStation. I don't really care about trophies. I'm just playing it to have fun, basically. Destiny launches for Xbox 360, Xbox One, PlayStation 3, and PlayStation 4 on September 9th. So about, what, 2 months from now? Pretty much, yeah, July, August, September. We thought that the game looked promising when we got our hands on the alpha build earlier this month. And I, you know, as me, as you're the person you're listening to now, play the alpha. The game looks spectacular. It plays amazing, and I recommend everyone to play it and get involved with it. And if I could remember what my PlayStation ID was, I would tell you. And I can't remember, so fuck. but no, yeah, I've given you all the contact details. Go on morelightradio.com, get in touch with me, and I'll tell you then. But yeah, I can't wait for this game. It's going to be so amazing. Yeah, it's just going to be so much fun. And, you know, if I can get fucking Royce to play this as well, I'll have someone else to play it with. And, you know, as Sean lives with Royce, you know, Sean will pick it up as well and play it on his PlayStation 4. And tons of fun will be had, and stories, and, you know, lots of fun. Lots and lots of fun. Here we go. This is quite funny, sort of. This is from CVG. Sniper Elite 3 Steam code stolen. Rebellion blocks codes. Affecting up to 7,000 customers who bought codes in good faith. Rebellion has blocked... A security leak at an online store led to the theft of about 7,050 Steam keys. So I'm guessing it must have been off Steam. These were then sold onto other stores who proceeded to sell the keys to unassuming customers. These customers have now been blocked from accessing the game due to their Steam keys from being blocked. We've been saddened to learn that some of the fans have been caught out by companies selling unlicensed or stolen Sniper Elite 3 Steam keys. Rebellion informed its customers in a statement. If you have been affected by this, we encourage you to contact the seller in question and seek a refund immediately. But yeah, so listen, for all you people listening, if you did get a Steam key, yeah, do as I say, get in touch with the people you bought it from, and if they won't give you a refund... get in touch with, you know, Rebellion themselves and say, yeah, I bought it from here, and they'll start some sort of proceeding because something's got to be done, you know. Customers affected have to contact Rebellion by July 4th. So you've got until, what, Thursday, Friday? I think Friday, yeah. With proof of purchase from the blocked vendor and the Steam key that was blocked. They will then be given a working key and a free copy of the Target Hitler DLC. That was made available to customers who pre-ordered the game. We appreciate that some of the people are upset, Rebellion added. This is exactly what we wanted to make. This is exactly why we wanted to make this offer to gamers who've been affected through no fault of their own. The studio also provided a list of other sites aside from the Steam that had it provided genuine keys to, advising that if anyone wishes to buy the game from the following sites, are guaranteed to offer legitimate copies. Basically, it's Amazon, Buka for Russian keys, you know, from Game over here, Gamefly, Gamersgate, Greengate Game, Green Man Gaming, Humble Store, Metapoly sites, Nextway affiliates, which I think is probably something in Norway, maybe. Rebellion Game. God, my voice is broken. Hello. Rebellion Game Store. But yeah. Just reading a bit of a review from them for the Sniper Elite. I'm interested in getting the game, but I'm going to wait until it gets a lot cheaper. Because, I mean, I loved Sniper Elite V2. Game was fun. I didn't get that far, but it was just literally having fun with the sniper rifle, shooting people in the head or in the bollocks or in the knees, and, you know, just the X-ray modes, and just, you know, lots of fun with it. Here we go. This is something for Far Cry 4 here. Far Cry 4, this is from GameSpot. Far Cry 4 is packed to the gills with women. Women will feature prominently in Ubisoft's upcoming open world game, the director confirms. Upcoming open-world action game Far Cry 4 does not feature any playable female characters, but that doesn't mean the title is completely male-focused. The reality is quite the opposite. According to Far Cry 4 director Alex Hutchinson, An interview with Outside Xbox, Hutchinson said that you can expect to encounter a number of significant female characters throughout the game. He said Ubisoft tried very hard to make sure of the four main antagonists, half of them are women, which is cool. On your side, one of the main leaders of the rebel faction is a woman. Half the rebels that fight with you are women. It's packed to the guild. Yeah, so basically it's, you know, equal opportunities. They're everywhere. That's just like life. Yeah, but they're nowhere near me when it comes to life. At E3 2014, Hutchinson said Ubisoft was inches away from letting gamers play as a female character in Far Cry 4. Far Cry 4's co-op mode. The reason that was this was not possible, Hutchinson said at the time, was simply a result of a workload issue. Ubisoft didn't have a female voice actor lined up and the development team didn't have any female animations in place. That makes sense. I mean, because you don't want to really take, if you're going to make, you know, take decent with it, you don't really want to use the sort of character models that you're using for, like, what the hell is it? You know, your NPCs, your female NPCs, you want something that's more, you know, if you're going to put someone in the old, you know, table tennis suit, you know, you want a proper person, not whatever it is they've designed for character models for the NPCs. Where was I? Yes, Ubisoft has been surrounded by controversy regarding the role of women in its games since E3. Before Hutchinson revealed that Far Cry 4 would not feature female playable characters, another Ubisoft developer said creating playable females in Assassin's Creed Unity would have doubled its work, a point which would later be contested. I don't get how that doubles your workload. It's the same shit. It's like, you know, Ubisoft formally addressed the matter during E3, saying that it recognises the valid concern about the diversity in video games. Also, during Outside Xbox interview with Hutchinson, he put an end to the thought that Far Cry 4's main character is actually the son of the insane antagonist, Pagan Min. He is not your father, Hutchinson said. He did tease, however, that Min is someone who you are familiar with, which makes sense. You know, the way that how he reacted to you in the trailer, you know. Here we go. Yeah, we didn't want a villain who's just shaking his fist at you and threatening to kill you and murder your family, and the inevitability of you shotgunning him in the face, Hutchinson said. And neither did we want someone who didn't know you at all. We wanted you to actually sort of have a secret history in this country. Yeah, that actually makes it so much better. I mean, it gives you connection. I mean, with Jason Brody, you know, your family was kidnapped, your friends and family were kidnapped, and your brother was killed by, I can't remember the fucking guy's name. I mean, literally, he's looking it up because I bought the special edition. It came with a bobblehead, and it's sitting on top of my shelf. I can't remember the fucking guy's name. But yeah, I mean, I can't wait to play Far Cry 4. It's another one on my list. I mean, just for this year, trying to pick a game of the year, it's going to be very, very tough. It really is. I mean, we're like, you know, less than 6 months away now, and pretty much all the decent stuff's coming out at the end of the year. But yeah, as I say, you know, game of the year, people, don't forget, make sure you're keeping your list up to date with all your top stuff that you've been playing, because, you know, in a few months, I've got to ask for your list. I want to know what the best games you've been playing, and I'll read it out on the show and give you a credit and all that sort of stuff. So don't forget, keep writing your stuff down that you've been playing and enjoying, and keep altering your list that, you know, your best game is at the top. There we go, from TVG. Battlefield Hardline beta hits all platforms this fall. Release window confirmed as early PC PlayStation 4 beta comes to a close. A second Battlefield Hardline beta will be released this autumn. Visceral Games VP and GM Steve... Papoutsis, there we go, has confirmed. Unlike the first beta, I'm just putting words together now, which was exclusive to PC and PlayStation 4 players, the next beta will be released to all announced platforms, which includes PlayStation 3, Xbox One, and Xbox 360. If you didn't get a chance to play Battlefield Hardline beta this time around, don't worry. We have your back, and we'll be launching another beta this fall on all announced platforms that will showcase more. Why don't they just call it an alpha the first time and then the beta the second one? He says, as you confirmed the conclusion of the first beta after a two-week campaign, Pahootsis promises plenty of surprises for the game to come, including new content that wasn't in the first beta. So more missions and whatever maps and stuff like that. The Battlefield Hardline beta was just a small portion of what's in store. We have plenty of new modes in the game that really play off the cop and crime theme, which I'm not that fussed about the new Battlefield. Battlefield Hardline looks, it's piqued my interest. It really has. But I mean, I'm not worried about any new Bad Company game that we're getting or Bad Battlefield 5 or whatever, you know. But this game, the whole keep knocking the microphone. The whole cityscape thing and cops and robbers, that interests me. That really does. It's something to look forward to. Plenty of new modes, blah, blah, blah. The variety of the maps is also something that Battlefield fans have never experienced before. From subterranean grow labs to the streets of Miami, complete with all the vibe and flavour that the city has to offer. For those interested, Pahootsis also offered a small hint of what's in store for the game's single-player campaign. Hopefully fun, to be honest. As many of you know from previous Visceral games, we have a unique way of telling stories and engrossing players in our worlds. And Hardlines will be no different. We are doing some cool new things in how we present the campaign, similar to what you see when watching episodes of your favourite TV shows. It's something different, and we're fired up about it. Keep your eyes out for more than this next month, he said. Battlefield Hardline is scheduled for release on PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, Xbox One. Wow, this is getting annoying to say. On October 21st in North America and 23rd in Europe and 24th on the UK. Why the fuck is it? Hang on, one second. What are we up to? Was it 23rd he said? One sec, October. There we go, yeah. Europe gets it on a Thursday and we get it for Friday. What the fuck's up with that? I don't know. But yeah, it says similar to what you see when watching your episodes of your favourite TV show. I reckon each level is going to be like what was done with Alan Wake, where it was like previously on da-da-da-da-da, you know. I think that's what it's going to be like. Could be interesting, maybe, I guess. What we got? Let's have a look. Let's find some more stuff. Okay. Here we go. This is from CVG. Jade Raymond. She's with Ubisoft exec. She says some mobile games recycle 40-year-old game design. Ubisoft's Toronto managing director Jade Raymond has criticised some aspects of mobile gaming while at the same time stressing its importance to the future of the industry. Speaking at the Game Lab conference in Barcelona, Raymond was discussing how wearable technology and virtual reality could shape the future of gaming. She's really pretty. According to Raymond, the future of gaming is being ushered in by mobile developers. Though the industry still requires a great deal of improvements, mobile has attracted more people to gaming, but there hasn't been such a creative boom, she explained. What passes for innovation on mobile is the recycling of 40-year-old game design with real-world gambling and money stuck on top of it. Yeah, it's the in-app transactions, it's the Smurfs game, where, you know, you buy Smurf berries like with real money, the RMT and that sort of stuff. You know, it's quite funny how, you know, RMT became something. It was started off as something that was, you know, frowned upon and people hated, and I've still got beer in my thing. One second. Yeah, it's like, you know, people sort of frowned upon the whole RMT and all that sort of stuff, and now it's a big business thing. You know, people are doing it with games. I mean, you look at EA and what the fuck was I playing? Oh yeah, sorry, MLB, and there was like create a character stuff. You can actually buy, you make it, you know, put money into your character. I'm like, no, I'm going to play the game for hours and hours and ends. Because I've got nothing better to do until September. But it's all about that these days. Where was I? What did I get to? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, though these days, though, I'm spending a lot more time on mobile games than I am on consoles. I mean, I can agree, mobile games, it doesn't have to be actual mobile games. I play lots of Pokemon, and as everyone else in the staff of More Like Radio knows, I play a lot of Pokemon. and I basically just sickened them all, especially Tex Pundrum. But yeah, right. Yeah, mobile gaming will become become more integrated in the way our into our way of life as it goes on, and I like to call this transition ambient gaming. Well, yeah, it's, you know, mobile games. It's sort of where you're traveling to work, like I do, or on your breaks, like I do, or having a crap. You know, something you do while you're, you know, doing other stuff that doesn't require, you know, a full cognitive, you know, experience. You know, Raymond believes that while mobile games themselves may be creatively lacking, their promotion of ambient gaming may open up the door to other possibilities. We've gone from a world of undivided attention to a world of multitasking, shedded play that has players always been a way to practice real world skills in order to maximize our time here on Earth as we're looking to be productive and turn the mundane into entertainment. The world is becoming an even more connected and tightly integrated place. It's normal now to be in constant communication with everyone you know, and I think we can make our real world environment playable. Exactly. I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm a big proponent for augmented reality. I'd love to see some more stuff with that done. But I mean, yeah, I'm now that I have my nice new smartphone. You know, I'm always talking on Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp, and you know, and if I could find some games to play on my Android, I would. But you know, I'm you know, when I'm out and about and stuff, and you know, going to work and that, I'm literally playing Pokemon until I'm done with what I need to do on Pokemon, which probably a few months away. It depends how well I can get through this shit, to be honest. But yeah, it's, you know, it's fun. And D's in the chat. Hello, D. How are you? But yeah, I was, you know, mobile gaming, it's a thing, and you know, I just wish there was more stuff. I mean, hang on. I think I've got this article that, you know, I can transition from this. Shows you how good I get. I'm doing it at shows you how good I'm getting at doing this sort of stuff. Is this the one? I think this is it. Yeah, here we go. This is what I was after. This is from Eurogamer. Have mobile graphics finally surpassed the last-gen console? New Ubisoft... what the fuck is it mean, Ubisoft? New Unreal Engine 4 demo running on NVIDIA tablet technology says yes. A new focus on Android gaming has emerged at Google's I.O. 2014 event. With NVIDIA's, what the hell is that called? Tegra K1 processor, showing the raw processing potential of the next wave of mobile technology. TK1, integrating the same Kepler architect as the current GeForce desktop graphics card, theoretically has more rendering horsepower than the last-gen consoles. Acclaim Epic has put to test by producing a brand new real-time Ubisoft... Unreal Engine 4 demo. Now, I'll talk about this for a couple of seconds. Now, we got this whole demo came out. Not this demo. I haven't seen this demo. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. But there was a demo early that we got with like last-gen consoles about how good games can look. But to be honest, it's one great big long cutscene. It's not... It's not actual gameplay. It's all right, you can make a cutscene look like this. I mean, the other day, I was watching the Final Fantasy Spirits Within movie. Now, that's a terrible movie if you think of it as anything to do with Final Fantasy, but it's a decent enough movie on its own. It's a very sad ending. I'm watching so much romantic shit at the moment where there is no... Well, not happy ending as a handjob, but, you know, a couple of the main characters don't get together, you know, one dies, and basically what happened with Final Fantasy. I mean, I was watching the Green Lantern cartoon that, you know, Matty made me watch. I wanted to watch myself. But yeah, I mean, just, you know, whatever. But yeah, dubbed Rivalry and reusing some assets from the now legendary Samaritan demo, which I think was the one that I was talking about. The new showcase uses the same rendering pipeline as the full desktop version of the engine currently being deployed on PC, Xbox One, PlayStation 4 projects. The demo, which combines NVIDIA's hardware with Epic's engine and new extensions to Android, utilizes high-end features such as deferred rendering, physically based shading, image-based lighting, HDR tone mapping, and even tessellation for smoke effects. Now, this is the smartest I've ever sounded in nearly 30 years. the claim that mobile technology has reached console standards has become something of a cliche in recent years. But in terms of raw specs alone, the Tegra K1 has the numbers to match match the boost. It features one SMX, a cluster of 192 CUDA codes through those thought to be running in the region of 950 megahertz. Compared with the contrast with the GT640M found in the PC-based Razer Edge gaming tablet that has two SMX X's as just over half the clock speed and is capable of running Crysis 3 at better than the console settings. Well, yeah, I'm just, it's Crysis 3. The game is shit anyway. It doesn't matter how good it looks. If that sounds too good to be true, I'm fucking wetting myself, literally. Maybe it's John Carmack says that... maybe it is. John Carmack says we should take NVIDIA's comparisons between the K1 SoC, system on chip, and consoles with grains of salt. And what the fuck am I clicking on now? Oh, here we go. Yeah, sorry. How much is this article going for? Okay, nearly... whatever, doesn't give a shit. I'm going to talk about this stuff for a second. Yeah, I mean, it's nice that we're getting these demos, right? I have no problem with that. But the fact is, it's just a visual demo. It's not actual gameplay footage. It's cutscenes and, you know, anyone can make a decent-looking cutscene. I mean, and intros and... I mean, I'll go back to now. I mean, I do plan on doing probably a topic on cutscenes, like what you know, your favourite cutscenes and, you know, sometime in the future when I've run out of stuff, you know, I've no idea how big this topic can be, but I'll sort something out. But unless you actually show me in-game graphics and actual gameplay. I mean, I was talking to a mate of mine at work about the new Mortal Kombat game. And it's like, how better did it... I mean, Mortal Kombat 10, how it differentiates itself from 9 with the fact that it would go from cutscene to fighting. But it wouldn't be... it would be a sort of slightly smooth transition. From, like, you know, you'd watch someone and then it'd be like, yep, let's fight. Whereas now it's a very smooth transition from actual cutscene to gameplay. I mean, me and my sister are big Mortal Kombat fans. And I know when this game comes out, we'll be beating the shit out of each other non-stop. And then we'll actually sit down and start playing the game itself. But, you know, it's okay that you can give us these nice cutscenes and make them look pretty and all this sort of stuff. But you've got to think about the games that we get with this. You know, I mean, they talk about these tablets and stuff. You know, I mean, fuck, I mean, I'm spent. I mean, I've got my mum, what the fuck did I get my mum? I got her, was it Kindle Fire HD for her birthday? And me and my sister have got my dad an Apple, what the fuck, an iPad Air? Fuck knows. We got him the latest iPad with whatever gigs of RAM and all that sort of fucking bells and whistles that's costing an arm and a leg. But yeah, it's nice that you want all this stuff. But thing is, though, it's like with anything, right? Like I've been saying with, you know, the Kinect with the Xbox, with the Wii U. You've got to want to make games for the actual device that incorporates how it plays. It's like, yes, the Kinect failed because basically I have no interest in getting up and dancing around. As I say, I'm 6'4". I'm a big-ass motherfucker. I'm losing weight because I'm eating loads of fruit. I just don't want to jump on that plane to America in a few weeks and literally, you know, have to get off half the luggage just because I'm too heavy. But it's like, yeah, I can't, I can't dance around and jump around. Mainly because I've got windows on all sides, everyone can see me. But it's because I'm a big guy, I'll probably end up either bouncing through the floor or jumping up through the ceiling. But, you know, stuff when it comes to, like, the PlayStation 4. I mean, I've got the controller right in my hands now. It's like, it's got, like, a nice big-ass touchpad on it, which is actually very sensitive. And, you know, it does work, but it's, like, it's awkward for where it is. It's just, you know, with the way the controller is. But it's like it's just a button that's just, you know, I press it when I'm playing Tomb Raider to skip the cutscenes. There's nothing more from it apart from that. But yeah, I mean, you know, and the Wii U, it's like I have no interest in holding this great big fucking tablet to play games on that has a screen on it when I could be looking, I could play on a smaller controller like what we get with the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3. Oh, excuse me. Instead of something that's like, you know, the size of a dinner plate, you know, I mean, I don't mind because I've got big hands anyway. And it, you know, it's not like to fall out of my hands. But it's just trying to play these games that, you know, the people need to make. But thing is, though, what sort of games are you playing on tablets? I mean, I've got... One sec. Well, here we go. So I'm just looking through my iPod now. I think it's Dungeon Hunter. One second. Where are we? Do I even have it on here? I don't think so. But no, I mean, I've got like, you know, I've got stuff like Chrono Trigger, Angry Birds, and Star Command, and the Bar Oasis stuff. I mean, the Bar Oasis stuff on a tablet is pretty tricky because you can tilt the iPod, and it's like you're pouring a drink. And, you know, so anyone who hasn't got Bar Oasis on your iPod, pick it up. It's a very fun game, and, you know, I like it because it's a romantic element, whatever. But, you know, stuff like that. This, you know, Tiger Woods Golf I've got on here, and, you know, Crazy Taxi, which probably be a lot of fun on a tablet. But the thing is, though, you've got to think about what sort of games you're going to want on a tablet. I mean, I'm hearing so many, like, sob stories and angry people, you know, about, you know, who the hell was it? Someone was telling me about some story. They went to some, maybe it's one of the shows on the station. I can't remember. My mind is so frazzled these days. It's like, you know, they were using a tablet to take a picture. I think it was Marianne, actually. Yeah, I think it was Marianne on Daytime Divas last week. She basically explained about, some graduation or something. And someone was holding up a fucking tablet to take a picture with. And I'm like, yeah, just use a fucking camera, you div. But yeah, I mean, it's like you've got to have... You're going to have to want to make the games on it. I mean, I do like what we're getting with, like, Battlefield 4. That, you know, fuck, as buggered as that game is, but with the whole controlling, like, missile strikes and that sort of thing. And then going from stuff like, you know, just trying to think now with stuff, you know, like Watch Dogs, where you can, you can be chased and someone's controlling what's going on around you by, you know, blowing up steam drains and putting up barricades and, you know, setting the police and changing traffic lights and, you know, trying to slow you down, that sort of stuff. But I don't know. I'm running out of time now. I need to, you know, stop and end because Kevin's on after me in a few seconds. But yeah, don't forget, thank you everyone for listening tonight and listening on the podcast. Alcohol by Volume is up next, but don't forget you can contact the show. You want to Skype, call in, tell me what you're playing, you know, have a chat, whatever. Antisocial Game Radio, it's on Skype, all one word. Add me to your thing. I had someone add me before the show. Don't forget emails, antisocialgameradio@yahoo.co.uk. If you want to join our Facebook group, which I highly recommend, I've even got my sister in that group for some reason. Facebook.com, does manage, she doesn't listen to the show anyway. Facebook.com/group/MLR Gamer Lobby, get yourself in there. Facebook.com/antisocialgameradio. That's the Facebook page of the show. Give it a like, UpDungeon71. Want to try and get further up to the maybe 200s, like all the other shows on the station. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter @MLRGamerRadio. Always tweeting about bits and pieces going on. But yeah, don't forget though as well. So literally about five, six weeks from now. Hang on, let me count it. Let me do with count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, 5 weeks from now. More Like Radio live event number 2, August 9th, Just Jake's, 30 Park Street, New Jersey, Montclair, New Jersey. 1 till 4, comics, prizes, raffles, cover band, BPM, it'll be great there. You know, it's a whole lot of fun. I'm going to be there, Dee's going to be there. Hopefully, Mersh's going to be there. I'll give him a hug. Royce, Marie, all the scumbags of More Like Radio that you know and love are going to be there. And, you know, it's going to be great fun. But, yeah, I'm pretty much signing off for now, and I'll see you next week. Don't forget, as I've given you the Facebook group, next week, doing my favourite games. I want to know the best things you played. I want to know every damn thing about everything because my birthday show next week, I'm turning 30. Fuck, I'm getting old. But no, it's going to be a great show next week. Call in, wish me happy birthday. And any of you people who are playing Pokemon, I would like an ability capsules, please, as my presents. I need about 5 because I've got some stuff I need to change my Pokemon. But yeah, I say don't forget Alcohol by Volume up next. Then we've got Untimed Hype. Then we've got Dutch and Royce. But yeah, going to be a good show this week. I've had lots of fun. I'm going to finish my beer and I'm going to heat up a curry, as I usually do, the old curry on a Tuesday. But yeah, I will see you again next week with some new news and some new topics. And hopefully I'll play some more on Bits and Pieces and we'll see what happens. Take care, people, and I will see you again next week. Laters.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
Well, my God, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain, rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor.